Latter-day Saints Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2012 Youth Education Conference held in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Speakers in here. I just got back from a trip to Hawaii, and I realized that when they say aloha to me in the audience, I've got to say aloha back. And I found out there's another way that they use the word aloha. We went to church in Oahu, and one of the brethren was on the stand, and he said he was going to release someone from a calling. And he says, "We'd like to release brother such and such with aloha." And I was like, am I supposed to say aloha back? I didn't know what to do, but apparently you could release someone with aloha. And then I was looking through one of the brochures that they give you to go to the different shops on Oahu, and I found out that there are, there are stores with aloha. So, does anybody have any idea what aloha means? I don't either. I think it could mean practically whatever you want it to mean. And when I saw this happening with the word aloha, I thought, my gosh, this is just like the word dating. People use that word to mean all different kinds of things, and I'm not sure anybody really knows what they mean when they say we're dating. So I have asked two individuals from the audience to come and help me out for just a minute, if you guys would please. We're going to imagine that I bumped into these two, and they are at a restaurant, and they're sitting at a table, and I just know them. I know them both, so I come up to them, and I say, "Hi, you guys. How long have you been dating?"
We're not dating.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what they said? One more time. How long have you been dating?
We're not dating.
There, you got it. Thank you, guys. You heard it that time, didn't you? So what did we discover? Nobody has a clue what they mean when they're talking about dating. So now I'm going to try and help you guys understand really better what we're talking about when we're talking about relationships. We're going to come up with a language that hopefully we can communicate in. And the way that I do this is I've introduced this concept of unsteady dating. Now you guys are probably thinking, that's every bit as confusing as dating. What is unsteady dating when you kind of like, you know, walk on your heels or something and you fall over? No. Here's a couple who are nice and steady, no problems. Anybody do slack line? Does anybody know how to do a slack line? They're so fun. And they're, you know, not quite as steady as they used to be. Uh-oh, this is the girl you just met. This is my daughter who's here, if you guys want to find her. She's at my booth over here on the wall. She's really unsteady, and now they're totally unsteady. They totally fell off. Is this an example of unsteady? Where you put yourself in a precarious position until you fall? Well, that's kind of what it sounds like when you hear the word unsteady, doesn't it? It's like, you know, you're going to fall over. That's not what we mean when we talk about unsteady dating. We're talking about a kind of dating that is the opposite of steady dating. And steady dating, you guys all know, means that you have one person and you're hopefully faithful to them and you go everywhere with them and you don't cheat and you are a couple, you're an item, right? You call each other boyfriend and girlfriend. Unsteady dating, you don't call each other boyfriend and girlfriend. You go out with other people, not just the person, you know, other people. You're not serious. You're not exclusive. You're not an item. You just go out for fun. And let me explain to you how that works. I'm going to start with what I call the funnel theory, which is a picture of how relationships form. Okay? And they start off in this acquaintance stage where you just meet somebody. Maybe in a class, maybe at a conference like this, maybe, you know, at the store, wherever. You just meet him and you say hi. And then if that person turns out to have something in common with you, maybe you both like the same kind of music, you both like the same, play the same sports, you might become friends. You might start emailing or texting each other, and you might find out, hey, you know, we have a lot in common. We could hang out and we could have some fun. They become your friend. If that friend is a member of the opposite sex, you might say, hey, I want to take you on a date. I've got tickets to a ball game. Will you come with me? There's a new movie out. I know you like this same actor I like. Hey, let's go to this movie. You might take this person on a date.
Your handout is on page 50 in your book.
Okay, if you got your book, this handout's on page 50. You can follow me, and you can write notes on it if you want to. So casual dating is when you go on a date with someone. It doesn't mean you go on two dates. It doesn't mean you go on every date. It doesn't mean because you went on a date Friday night that you also go on a date Saturday night, or because you went on a date one week that you go on a date the next week. It means you go on a date. Now, if you go on a date with someone and you are in a position to get serious, and there should be a handout in your packet that talks about, has a bunch of quotes from prophets in it. And there's a quote from President Hinckley. And it says, when you are thinking of marriage, or when you're in a position to marry, is when you want to start steady dating. That's when it's time to get a boyfriend or girlfriend. Anybody here in a position to marry? Nope. I'm so glad I saw no hands go up. So, anybody in here have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Yay, no hands. Uh-oh. I didn't see that. When you're in a position to marry is when you move, when you want to move down into this serious dating stage. Okay, and then obviously what comes after you've been seriously dating and you're in a position to marry? That's right. You get engaged, and if the engagement doesn't break off, which we hope it doesn't, that would be very painful and your caterers would be very disappointed, then you marry. So this is the funnel theory. The thing that you guys want to watch is there is a big difference between this casual dating and this serious dating stage, because in casual dating you are not exclusive, and in serious dating you are. All these top three stages are friendship stages, and the bottom three stages are romance stages. Now what happens too often in our culture is people entirely skip the casual dating stage, and they may entirely skip the friendship stage. You may just see some girl across the room that you think is cute and find out, you know, have one of your friends go ask her for her number, and before you know it, you're texting, hey, you want to go out? And you're forming this relationship where you're going to be exclusive, where you're going to be a couple, when you don't even know each other. You haven't even done what it requires to be friends. You haven't even gone on a date. You skip right to this relationship where you're a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Now, there's something seriously wrong with this picture. There's something that really can do a lot of damage when you skip friendship and casual dating and jump right to serious dating. The friendship stage is absolutely essential for any successful relationship. If you end up becoming serious, getting engaged and marrying, if you haven't had a solid friendship, your marriage will not work. You will have nothing in common, you won't really know each other, and you'll end up divorced. You have to get to know someone in a friendship stage in order for your relationship to ever progress. Now, it might not progress, it might just stay friends, which is cool. I mean, friends are good things. You can have all kinds of friends your whole life. It may never progress beyond friends. But you can't skip the friendship stage. So I want to talk to you for a minute about why friends are so important. All right, this is kind of like my Venn diagram, but I could not figure out how to make the other line here show up. So pretend there's a line here so you can see the middle section. So you guys know what a Venn diagram is, right? Okay, so if we let this circle here on the left represent you, the advantage of friendship dating is that you can be yourself. Have you ever noticed how different you act when you have a crush on someone? like all of a sudden, you don't know how, you can't be articulate, you can't say what you want to say, your mouth gets dry, your hands sweat. You totally can't be yourself when you start crushing on someone. And you do what we call...
What if you're like that all the time? Without the crush on
you
have trouble saying what you want to say.
That could happen too. Well, it gets even worse when you're crushing on someone, so be glad about it. Yeah. So what will happen is you don't really, if you ever do go out with this person, you do what we call faking good. And you don't act like yourself. You act like you think this other person wants you to act because you're trying to impress them. Now, how can you really find out what someone's like if they're faking good, if they're not really being themselves?
There's a dinner at their parents' house.
Oh, there you go. Watch them how they act in their home.
Okay, if you're a boy, you want to be careful because you might have older brothers.
Exactly.
So now look at the other thing that happens. This other circle in our Venn diagram represents the other person. Like, you know, if you're a girl, that's the boy, or vice versa. And the advantage of friendship dating is the person that you're with is more himself or herself. So you can really get to know who they are. One of the articles that I read in a magazine called Cosmo Girl, I don't even know if they still publish it, but it was an article called 5 Guys to Date Before You Graduate. And it talked about how you don't want to select a major without taking a bunch of electives. You want to get to know different people. And you only do that in the friendship stage. You don't want to have a romance with a bunch of different people because then you're like a player and nobody wants to go out with you if you're a player. But if you're just friends with lots of different people, then you can get to know them. I remember when I was... dating someone one time, I thought he was really cute because he was, you know, just, you know, blonde and broad and surfer and everything like that. And as I went out with him a couple of times, I found out that he didn't want to go to college. He wanted to make his living selling real estate. And I was like, that's not, I kind of really think college is important. It's really important in my family. And I realized just by casually dating him that this is someone that I didn't want to move down into that serious dating stage with because we didn't have that in common. And had we been serious, he might have faked good and given me a whole line about how he was going to become an attorney or something like that, you know. And then I don't find out till it's too late that he has no plans of becoming an attorney whatsoever. So you can get to know people in those kind of stages. Now, this middle stage, this overlapping part, is where you get to know how people perceive you. When you're friends, you can have an idea of how you affect people. And if you drive them nuts, then you can look at yourself and say, that's an irritating behavior. I probably don't want to do that anymore. Back when I was your age, I was a huge flirt. Imagine that. I had just all kinds of confidence, very gregarious, and I had no problem talking to anybody, and I was just an enormous flirt. It was just easy for me. And I discovered that the guys that I was impressed with, the guys that were kind and intelligent, they didn't like flirting. They just thought I was just really too flighty for them. They thought I was an airhead. And so it taught me something about myself, these casual dating relationships, and I learned to tone down the flirting. Very helpful, because my husband's one of those shy, quiet, kind of liked a quieter girl. How do we ever get together, huh? So the last thing you'll see on the bottom that's great about friendship is it is fun, fun, fun. These are some pictures of my cute little daughter with one of her buddies down the road. They've been friends since they were 2, and they're just buddies, and they just have a blast together. They can totally be themselves, no censoring, no faking good, just having a ball. And that's this is my other son with one of his buddies. Just being yourself. And that's one of the cool things about that friendship stage, and we don't want to skip it. Now, sometimes when we look around the world, you see, like, everybody you know, or everybody that's on TV, for sure, and everybody that's in the movies that's your age, is in an exclusive relationship. I cannot think of a single movie about adolescents where they don't hook up somewhere in the movie. If anybody can think of one, let me know. It's like a rite of passage that everybody thinks as soon as you turn 16 that all of a sudden you're supposed to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And they just think that there's just something wrong if you don't. It's hard to find good role models for adolescents that choose just to be friends. And so sometimes we sit back, you know, those of us, you know, hopefully you guys who have made that choice just to be friends and not get serious during your teenage years, you look around and you say, man, I am so missing out. You know, you listen to Taylor Swift a bit and you're like, oh, she's got it going and I'm not there. So I want to reassure you guys that you are not missing out in the least. And I'll tell you a couple secrets that the world does not know. Teenagers who go steady always break up. Now, they don't know that. They don't know they're going to break up. They think they found their one and only, and that their relationship was just made in heaven, and they're just meant to be together, you know. You tell them they're going to break up, and they're like, oh, no, you don't have any idea. He's just perfect for me. Well, you watch. You just watch. The average teenage relationship lasts one semester. That's the average. And if they do make it to marriage, the chance of a breakup in the first 5 years is double what it is for a non-teenage relationship. Those who make it clear to, like, 80, only 5% of those who dated as teenagers make it all the way to 80. And they're still married. And those statistics include those people who are like 80 now. You know, where back in the olden days, you could marry as a teenager and it was more feasible. So the chances of a romance that you enter into in high school lasting is like nil. It's like if you are the type of person who plays the lottery, then maybe you want to try and find your one and only in high school. It's like winning the lottery because it just doesn't happen very often. So you look around you and you look at those kids who just are so happy and so blissful, and just remember, it's going to come crashing down on them. It's going to end. It always does. And you don't have to be very jealous, because when it ends, it's not very pretty. It's just so sad to see some of the heartbreak that happens. Because, you know, teenagers are vulnerable, and just because you're a teenager doesn't mean you can't really love deeply. And so when you break up, I mean, you can really get your heart broken. And I've seen so much heartache, because this is what I do. I'm a family counselor, and so I do a lot of relationship work. I had a girl in my office who broke up with her boyfriend, and he was so mad that he came in and keyed the side of her car. And she paid, you know, whatever exorbitant price it was to get it repainted. As soon as it got repainted, he comes and he keys it again. I mean, he was really mad. So anger is one of those things that happens after a breakup. Emotional pain can happen. I'm going to tell you this story because the parents asked me to. I had there was a young lady. She was actually only 14, not even old enough to technically go on a date. But she's in this romantic relationship with this boy on the computer. He's 15, okay? And they're emailing back and forth, and they just have everything in common, and oh, I don't know how I can live without you, that type of a relationship. And he turns 16. She's 15, so she can't really go on a date, but he can. So he decides that this internet romance is really passé beyond him, and he finds another girlfriend. She's devastated. I mean, like, she is brokenhearted. This was her first love. And he just bagged her as soon as he was able to go on a date. She got so depressed that she stopped eating. And she got so thin she developed an eating disorder and got diagnosed with anorexia. And she was in treatment for years, trying to overcome this first love relationship that was so devastating for her. That's what happens when kids get too serious too soon. They break up and it breaks hearts. There's nothing good that can come of it in high school. Now, you can sit back and you can look at people and you can say, I know what's going to happen to you. And then the cool thing is, after they break up, you're still their friend. You can still talk to them. You can still sit by them and you can wave and you're not embarrassed. And that's what happens when kids break up. It's like they don't want to see each other anymore. And all of a sudden, everyone in their social circle has to choose who they're going to be friends with. And you don't have to do that. Hello. We just lost our sound, so now I'm going to go to my cheerleader voice, okay, so you can hear me. So the other thing that that I hope you realize, a lot of times teenagers will enter exclusive relationships because it makes them feel good about themselves to have another adolescent say, oh, I adore you. You're so cool. Well, what happens when that other adolescent changes his mind? Does that mean you're not cool? Yes. You give all your power to this adolescent, this one adolescent, teenager who thinks that you're great, and then when he changes his mind, it devastates you. So that's another reason you really want to not make those romantic relationships so important. Because the time will come when someone will adore you and he's not going to change his mind just because he turns 16 and has a birthday. and that time, you have to have faith that it will happen when it's supposed to happen, and you just don't want to rush it. And you look at people who are doing it and they don't have anything on you. So if we have convinced ourselves, let me see what my next slide is. Okay. If we recognize that it's not for us, going steady in high school, having a one and only is not for us, there are some things that we can do so we don't get jealous of those people who are. And one of the ones I just talked to you about was recognizing that they will break up. The other thing that we want to do is we want to cure our crushing. And it's easy to crush. I don't know who I was looking at a minute ago. They're talking about how easy it is to have a crush on somebody. And sometimes if you fantasize about that person, that crush can just grow and grow and consume your mind. And it's hard to stay out of a romantic relationship when you're daydreaming about someone and you're like putting his last name with yours and, you know, wondering what color your children's eyes are going to be. So you really want to be careful when you start crushing to back off. Thank you. And don't focus on just one person. One of the things that we know is that human beings are made to love one person at a time. And if you are friends with lots of people and you're noticing how much fun everybody is and you're noticing how cute everyone is, and then you're not going to be necessarily honing in on just one person and wanting them for your very own. You won't be looking for a boyfriend if you're looking around and saying, man, there are so many cool guys around here. I want to be friends with all of them. And that's one of the things, you know, the church talks about group dating. Anybody know why you've been encouraged to group date? Anybody have a theory as to why you've been encouraged to group date?
So you can meet more people.
Yes, it's a great way to meet more people. Okay, less temptation. Now, I always thought when I was your age, they were telling me not to go on group dates because they didn't want, you know, they didn't want us fooling around. And if there's lots of people, you're not going to be doing anything in public because you're in public. Well, that theory does not work. You know, if a bunch of kids go together, they share a limousine, and they go to a dance, and they want to, they're going to find their own corner and make out. It doesn't matter that they're in a group date because teenagers make really terrible chaperones. So.
It helps to find out what sort of person you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Exactly. Group dating is just like friendshipping because you get to know all the different people in the group and you get to know what type of person's is fun for you, what type of person you get along with. That's the advantage. So, I'm going to show you a couple. Okay, so we're going to cure our crush by not. Okay, here's some group dates that, this is just a dance. These guys are all friends. No, nobody's a couple here. He's not a couple. He's not in a relationship with either of these girls. They're just all buddies. They're all friends. Same thing here. This guy is not in a relationship with either of these girls. They're just hanging out. They're just having fun. None of these kids. are going together. There are no couples in this entire group. They're just all in a big group together. Same thing here. Another bunch of friends. Okay, this is the kid, okay, that asked this girl to go on a date. So they're at the beach taking pictures before prom. This is another one of the kids that was went to prom in the group. Is he jealous of him? No. Because these two are just buddies. They're just friends. And they both know it, and they both know it. And so there's no jealousy. So here's another good buddy. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you one of the really great ways to stay friends is if you're a girl, go out with guys that are younger than you. You never get tempted to get serious with them. You can just have a blast. This kid's a year younger than her, so they have a lot of fun together. Now that is a group date. So the advantage of group dates is not just that you chaperone one another, but the advantage is that you don't focus in on any one person because there's so many cool people that you can have fun with. So what I want to do is I need a couple of people to help me out to demonstrate how we make sure that we're going to do some group dating. Anybody, any two kids volunteer, boy, girl? Okay, please, come on up. I need a girl. All right, come on up. Okay, your name is?
Brooks.
All right, and your name is?
Emily.
Okay, Brooks and Emily, we're going to pretend. Brooks, what do you like to do? What do you like to do for fun? What are you into?
I like to play music.
Music, okay. Yes. Any concerts, local or otherwise, that you like to go see?
Anything and everything, as long as it's appropriate.
Okay, any groups? Any groups that you've ever seen or come into your area soon?
Not that I know of. I don't know.
What are your favorite groups?
Favorite groups? Dave Matthews Band.
Okay, Dave Matthews Band. Good taste. All right, so let's imagine, Brooks, you got tickets to go see the Dave Matthews Band. All right? Okay? I know, in our dreams, huh? All right, and you call Emily, and you ask her to go see the band with you. Okay?
So, Emily, what's up?
Not much. How you doing, Brooks?
I'm doing pretty good. So, I just got these tickets for this concert, and I was wondering if you would have this Saturday free if you want to come with me to the concert.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you how to respond, okay? Your first response is, who else is coming? Okay? You can say, I would love to come. That'd be great. Dave Matthews is my favorite, too. Who else is coming? All right?
I'd love to. Who else is coming?
Okay, so you see that Brooks has to learn two things. He has to, first of all, have a plan when he's going to do a group date. And his plan was to do something he enjoys doing and just bring along a friend. And that was a great plan. He enjoys music, and he wanted to bring along a friend. Okay, now Emily knows that any time someone calls and asks her out, because she just does group dating at this stage of life, she got to make sure it's a group date. Okay, so you're going to bail Brooks out, okay? So Brooks is like, how are you going to bail him out?
My friend Marissa is going to be in town. We could invite her and my friend Jake.
Perfect. Do you see that? Okay. So, girls, you want to be prepared. If when the guy calls you, if he doesn't have a plan to have more people in, you want to be prepared to bring more people into your date. And guys, when you call, you want to have something to do. Those are the two secrets to group dating. You want to have a plan of what you're going to do, and you want to have a plan of who else can come if he doesn't. All right? Thank you, guys. Give these guys a hand. Okay, so that will really help you resist the urge to become a couple, is if you stay in groups. Now, the other thing that's going to help is if you recognize that chances are nil that the people that you go on dates with are ever going to be more than just friends. And if you enter the relationship planning on staying friends, then you can do all the things that friends do. When you enter a relationship scheming to see if you can get this guy to like you more, or scheming to see if this girl's going to, you know, let you go beyond first base with her or whatever, you're going to have a hard time being yourself and staying in the friendship stage. Don't enter the relationship with anything else on your mind except for we're going to be friends. Someone once said that when you take a girl out in high school, you're going out with someone else's wife. Because she's probably not going to be yours. Chances are, statistically speaking, you're not going to marry the people that you date. You're not even going to stay together. So you want to enter the relationship just with friends as the ultimate goal and nothing beyond friends. And then you won't be too tempted to go further than that. Okay, so I'm going to tell you one other secret to staying in the friendship stage. Okay, I call it a secret, but actually it's we want to swear off secrets. Too often, you guys got the idea of, you know, don't just date one person steadily. And so you want to go out with, you know, different people, which is you're supposed to do. But too often, you're not honest about that. And when you go out with one, let's say, you know, Emily's going out with Brooks one weekend, and she doesn't tell Brooks, hey, I got this other friend that's coming into town, and we're going to go out next weekend. And Brooks thinks he's like the only one that she's going out with. And then all of a sudden he finds out that she goes out with someone else the next week, and he's like, man, she like totally led me on. And he's thinking she's a player. Okay, now maybe Emily's not a player. Maybe she really totally thinks Brooks is her friend and so is this other guy. But he's not going to know that unless you tell him. Okay, you want to be really honest with the people you go out with, and you don't want to deceive them into thinking that they are the only person you're going out with. You want to be honest about one, the other people in your life, okay? And you don't have to be cocky about it. You can be really kind of smooth, and you can say, you know, you can say, oh, gosh, did you see this movie? Yeah, I saw the movie last week, such and such, and I went, you know? And so you just kind of slip it in the conversation so the person you're with gets the idea that you're not exclusive. Okay, so he's not going to get the wrong idea because you're honest about your other relationships. Okay, the other thing I'm on swear off secrets is where I'm on. So the other thing you want to be honest about is how you feel about the person you're on a date with. Just because you have other people that you're going out with doesn't mean you don't really, really, really like the company of the person you're with. And he shouldn't feel like he's getting the consolation prize because you're going out with him and someone else. Everybody's getting first prize. And so you need to be honest with the person you're with. You are so much fun to be with. Oh, my gosh, you make me laugh. I'm so glad you called. Let's do this again. We have so much in common. You want to really make the person that you're with know how much fun they are so they don't get their feelings hurt when they realize that you also are going out with other people. Okay? Now, if you remember just to be friends, this shouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. You got to have the whole mindset. We are just friends. We are just buddies. I need somebody to help demonstrate for me being honest with your date. Any brave souls who will do that? Okay, I need a guy. Do I have any guys that will help me demonstrate honesty? Guys know how to be honest. Okay, come on up. And somebody who's not, come on up. Okay. So your name is?
Noah Earl.
Earl?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, my first name is Noah.
Oh.
Second name is Earl.
Noah Earl. Oh, I'm going to let her do it because she doesn't know him.
Okay,
Noah Earl.
Yes.
You want to be called by both Noah and Earl?
No, just Noah.
Just Noah. Okay, that's cool. Come on over here.
And Peggy.
Peggy. Okay, Noah and Peggy. So, let's say that you guys are in the car. Noah, stand up here next to Peggy so everyone can see you. And you're driving to wherever you're going to go. What do you like to do? What do you like to do, Peggy?
I like bikes.
You like bikes? Like road bikes, mountain bikes?
Yes. Pedaling.
Pedaling. Real awesome. My favorite, too. You like biking?
Yes.
Okay. Peggy, you like to go mountain biking?
Sure.
Okay. So let's imagine that you got the bikes on the back of the car and you're going mountain biking and you got, you know, obviously you got a rack that's big enough to hold three or four bikes because it's not just the two of you, all right? And you're driving in the car and you want to communicate to Noah how you feel about him. Okay?
You know, you're a really nice guy, and I like hanging out with you. And, you know, I have a lot of fun when I'm hanging out with you, and it's just awesome.
Perfect. Now, that doesn't sound like she's in love with him, does it? Doesn't sound like she's, you know, trying to become his girlfriend? Just sounds like she is really glad he thought of her when he wanted to go mountain biking. Thanks so much. We are going to have a blast today. Okay.
Yep. I like you, too. You make me laugh, and you like the same things I do.
Good. See, now you guys can be reassured. That's what friends do, right? Friends are reassured that we really do like each other. We don't like each other like, you know, like we're going to be a couple or anything like that. We just really have good times together. Okay, so you guys have established that. Now, you need to communicate to Noah that you're doing something with somebody else sometime soon. Okay?
So, me and my friend Fred are going, and some other people are going to the movies tonight, and it's just going to be awesome, and we're seeing this show that I'm really excited about.
Great! Okay, are you hurt? Are your feelings hurt?
Nope.
Okay.
That's cool. You're getting to meet other people.
Okay. Now, if this was really happening, you guys are really in the car, and she's telling you about a show, what are you really going to say? Your normal response. You're not curious about what she's going to go see?
Not really.
Ask her what she's going to see.
What are you going to see?
What's out there?
I don't know. We bought a zoo. That's a good one.
Okay. We bought a zoo.
Okay.
What is that?
It's this movie about a zoo. I haven't seen it yet or heard that much about it. So, but I heard it's really interesting.
Okay. Would you like to come?
Isn't she already going to someone else?
Yeah, but it's a group.
I guess, but I'm not going with anyone.
Ask her if you can come.
Can I come?
Sure.
There you go. You see, that's how friends do. Isn't that how friends do? If you had a group of guys, if these guys were both guys and they're going mountain biking together, and we're going to call him Earl instead of Emily, and Earl says, hey, we're going to see a movie tonight, Noah's going to say, hey, can I come? Isn't that what's going to happen when you have two of the same gender together? That's what you do with friends. Do the same thing when you have opposite gender friends. Thank you guys so much. Give them a hand. Okay, is that what you do? Do you guys talk that way to the people you go on dates with? It's different, isn't it? We are so wrapped in pretense and faking good that we have a hard time being honest with our relationships, but the hurt feelings come when we're not honest. So be honest about the other people you go on dates with. Be honest about how much fun you have with your friends, just like you would same-gender friendships. Let me close with just one. I want to show you a couple of comparisons here, okay? Does anybody watch The Middle? It's a show that's on Thursday nights. Okay, I haven't seen it, but my girlfriends were telling me about it because they knew I was giving this talk. Apparently, there was an episode recently where there was a guy who didn't have a date to prom. And he was in a, you know, what do I do? So he came up with this plan. I am going to go stand outside the girls' bathroom. And when one of the girls comes out of the bathroom with tears in her eyes because she's just been dumped, then I'll take her as my date. Sure enough, that's what happens. Because, like we talked about, romantic relationships in high school don't last. They just don't last. And he knew it, and sure enough, found a date for prom. So you will break up if steady dating in high school. You will experience heartache. You will experience drama and trauma and alienate your other friends because you're spending too much time with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Alienate your parents because they don't think it's a good idea for you to be in a serious relationship in high school. And, of course, there's that risk of immorality. Not a very attractive option. Now, look at the comparison. Do you want drama and alienation and breakups and broken hearts? Or do you want to have fun and just be relaxed and just be yourself and learn who you are and learn about other people and discover who you're going to be most compatible with? So have the courage, you guys. Don't just give up on dating altogether because you know you're not supposed to be serious dating. There are other kinds of dating. And unsteady dating can be way more fun when you're in high school than you can ever imagine. And because you've done a good job of unsteady dating, then once you get old enough to steady date, you're gonna make better decisions about who you date. And they're gonna make better decisions about who you eventually marry because you've done your homework in this casual stage. And I hope you guys have a blast with this time of life. There are so many cool kids in this room. And if you spend time with them, you can appreciate how much fun they are. Don't just pick one, because then you're missing out on everybody else that could be really fun for you to hang out with. And I hope you enjoy each other at this conference and the rest of your teenage years.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.